Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. You like the song? I love this song. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me, this song. What a hit. Song of the summer, summer sang.
Has been coming in hot all day long.
Who's been coming in hot?
Yeah, he's hot. Like, no, because I can barely hear you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Fran with the intro music.
Fran is ready to go to the mosh pit.
Oh, Fran's
ready. It sounds fine.
It sounds super loud to us because Tom's over here yelling.
I think it's a you
guys
problem.
That's naturally what I do coming back from break.
There's always a you people problem. I got you.
Yeah. We'll check in with you people later on.
Oh, do we have to?
In the show. We have to. This segment brought to you by Meineke. Get your AC tuned up for the summer and road trip this season. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. Now, we'll get back to the phones in a few minutes here, but Fritz versus the camera about to get underway at Plymouth White Marsh. And moments ago, an exclusive interview, Buzz was able to sit down for a minute with Joe DeCamera.
All right, standing by with Joe DeCamera, the hammer, the second to arrive between you and Jack. Any strategy to that? They were talking about it on the air.
I wanted to see him throw, which I did in the bullpen, so I feel pretty good about that. Just kind of getting myself mentally prepared in the car, which I feel great about. Also went to the bathroom and at my typical McDonald's stop, you know, after I ate lunch, which was not at McDonald's, by the way, but, you know, McDonald's pit stop, which is always needed. I feel good. I feel great. We got a great crowd here, which is awesome, and ready to rock and roll.
Now the decision to go with the Techno Bowl t-shirt and shorts, not your usual full baseball uniform. What went into that?
I just thought loose is good. It's hot, you know, I mean, no rule on what you have to wear. Obviously I want him sweating like a pig, and I'll probably be sweating myself, but hopefully less so. And I just want to keep it loose and ready to, you know, think of it this way. Michael Phelps isn't going in a, you know, full bodysuit to swim down a lane in a swimming pool, so I want to keep it loose and just be ready to roll.
You were known as a very confident guy, but a lot of people feel as if your confidence has been a little subdued going into this overall match, and baseball in particular. Just for the record, before we get in the batter's box here today, what is your level of confidence to succeed and to beat Jack on the baseball field?
You know, I've said many times, I think he's a rightful favorite. I mean, he's a varsity athlete in high school in baseball, and obviously a scholarship athlete in college. Good for him. So I think the edge should go to him on the way in. I will essentially let my play on the field do the talking and potentially my mouth tomorrow on the air. Bottom line is I feel ready. If people want to consider him the favorite, as I do, that's fine. 69% of people in our poll said they think he's going to win. Cool. Let's go.
Last thing for you. A lot of people expect you to take a lot of pitches, try and run that pitch count up. What is your strategy here today?
To get on base. So, you know, if he's not getting the ball over, and by the way, he looked like he had good control in warm-ups. But look, if he's throwing balls, I intend to, lay off him. I mean, that's obviously, I mean, it's good enough for Barry Bonds, good enough for me. But if the ball's in the zone and it's a good count for me to hit, you know, I intend to hit. I mean, ideal scenario for me, I get four hits. But, you know, if I got a walk to get on, great. I mean, I'll take whatever's necessary.
Tom, Hugh, Kyle, I'll send it back to you.
Well, there it is. That was Buzz's sit down with Joe DeCamera. I got to say, I'd say a striking difference in the confidence level that Joe is exuding versus what I felt to be a lack of confidence coming through in Buzz's interview with Jack. Would you guys agree?
I would say so, but I got stuck on one part of that interview that maybe
McDonald's.
Went over yeah.
Oh, that was you, unnecessary.
See, Kyle been working with me for too long because I think Kyle was there too. Okay, you say like what are you stopping at McDonald's doing, dude? Like, you blowing up the McDonald's? Like, because that's what it sounded like. You ain't stopping at McDonald's. That's not a number one stop. That's a number two stop. Because I know folks that...
That was so unnecessary.
Well, he's letting you know that he had to clear his bowels before he get ready for this competition. Because I know folks that,
people are trying to eat lunch here.
I think he's talking about eating at McDonald's. Yes.
No, he's not. He said stopped at the bathroom.
Yeah, he did.
He said stopped at the bathroom.
He made it very clear to say he needed
sorry
to go to the
bathroom.
Sorry
to everybody that's enjoyed their lunch, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am. Sorry about that. I didn't gross the lady out. I'm sorry. But but it's like I know people that strategically, they know where the, you know, certain areas are that have the better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just kind of wondering, I mean, is that like a
– It was not necessary.
He shared.
He did paint
an appropriate picture.
Of Joe DeCamera. Yes, it is.
Now, I've got to say, we got some inside information during the break, talking to our guy Mike over here, who's got a friend that's on the scene. who said Jack looked very good in warmups. Mm-hmm. As Joe said, apparently Jack was throwing some heat. He said he didn't know if it was 80, but apparently, I mean, maybe there is more life in that arm than we gave Jack credit for.
Somebody,
remains to be seen.
Yeah, I need to see someone down there with a radar gun.
Location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think location is the key, man. I mean, you could, anybody can throw it hard, but can you get it over the plate?
Yeah. What do we think he tops out at today?
78.
I would say
I think he gets to 80, man.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. 80. That would be intense, but the inside information that we are getting, that Jack looked good in his bullpen before the game, so we'll see if that can translate over to the field at Plymouth White Marsh today. 215-592-9494. So you want to get in, you're welcome to. Also talking obviously a lot about the Phillies and asking you the question, what bothers you the most after last night? Was it Rob Thompson's handling of the bullpen? Sending Jordan Romano out for a second inning when he hasn't done that all year? Is it the players? Is it Romano not getting the job done? The offense not scoring more runs? Or is it Dave Dombrowski? I come down on Dombrowski and I just continue to look at this team. And I see a roster that is flawed. I see a roster that was flawed heading into the season. A roster the Phillies did not address properly in the offseason. And I think that's what we've seen so far. But as you said, Hugh, you think the players and falls on that.
Players got to step up, man. I mean, that was a winnable game last night. When you look at the way that they were trying to play, that was a winnable game. Players got to play. You know, it's only so much. You put your, you know, Topper put you in a position to be successful. And I know that we've been talking about relief pitching for a long time, but players got to play, man. They got to win that game. In the park home run, man.
I mean, that's just terrible.
That was what I did. When me and Joe played MLB The Show with the kids, that's what happened to me. But I don't play baseball, and it was a video
game. How do you
game.
Give up an inside the parker
in a video game? Because I don't know how to play.
Yeah, yeah, that's just incompetence. Did not knowing how to use the controller.
I mean, I didn't need you to double down. That the double down was not needed.
Did you have, like, the hard throwing on where, like, you have to hit it through it within the meter?
No, I was I didn't.
It's bad fielding.
But the button.
You don't let up an inside the parker run without terrible fielding. And I mean, Marsh was a part of that last night with the Phillies.
Terrible.
But hopefully the Phillies can bounce back today. Jesus Luzardo on the mound, first pitch, 310. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Evan in South Carolina. What's up, Evan?
Evan, the Drexel Hill native, is in such a good mood because you guys are too. That is a lie. And that's why Romano needs to stay in Frisco, because he is useless. You can't blame this on Topper. The guy keeps on saying, give me the ball. That tells me what he is, guys. He's a known liar. He says he has his stuff. He doesn't have his stuff. And all he has to do, what do we do in Philadelphia or any other sports town? And we have the greatest of all time. Don't we know this? Say you're sorry, or at least say, I stink.
Well, you want Evan? So you want Jordan Romano to come out and issue a formal apology for not being good?
No, because he's already doing that in quotes. He's already apologizing for saying, "I've got to get better." Thanks, Captain Obvious. Just shut up and go do it. But it's like one of the at least one or all of the gentlemen with you today said, "This is 170% on Romano. He has to get it done." Because if you cannot get it done, we've got to move on. We're better than this. No. We're the fighting Phils.
Well,
he's not fighting.
You.
Okay, short and easy. Jordan's not fighting, and that's not acceptable.
Well, Evan, so
here's a quick one. Quick one. Please don't hang up on me.
Jesus.
Here's a quick one. Go see the doctor. Find a way to get him in street clothes. At least get him in street clothes. He has to figure it out. If it's about his brain's not working, I don't know, but I've been on this earth since 64. We've seen a lot of bad baseball in a lot of different cities, but this guy wouldn't deserve to start in Colorado or pitch in Colorado.
He's not good, Evan. I appreciate the call. It's not about fight with Jordan. Like, Jordan Romano just stinks. Like, can we be honest?
Yeah,
about
I mean,
it?
He's got the,
he's
that
just
like,
not a good pitcher.
He's got that psycho pitcher's mentality that, like, you want to see from a guy who's good, but he's not good.
No, he's not. And it's one of those things where he could pitch great the rest of the year. Would anybody at this point have any confidence in him come playoff time? I wouldn't.
If he pitched great starting now?
Yeah.
I mean, because you got PT, you have PT. I know what you said. You have PTSD.
And there's just something about Romano where he's like annoying to watch pitch. He's always fidgeting around, and he gets up and he does like a routine in the bullpen in the third inning. It's like, dude, just sit down and relax, and you know, do your job when you're called upon. You don't need to do all this extra stuff. But pretty brutal watching Jordan Romano. And he was terrible last night again. Let's go to Andrew in Ridley Park. What's Andrew. Up, Andrew?
Hello?
What's up, man?
Hello?
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 What's up, hello? Andrew?
What's hello? Up? So I think we're putting the blame all on the wrong people. If you actually go back and watch that last inning, you see Cassie and Marsh right next to each other standing, watching the ball hit the fence and then roll halfway down the fence to center field. If Marsh played the outfield properly, he should be backing up Cassie, not standing right next to him like their best friends holding hands in the park. Marsh should have been backing him up, so that way that run doesn't score for inside the park, a walk-off home run.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another part of it, Andrew. I mean, the defense on that play was terrible. The one thing, and I get you're in a different ballpark, you don't exactly know how the ball's going to bounce, but you got to understand there, like, that's the one thing you can't allow to happen.
Yeah, and that goes back to my point of it's just common baseball knowledge of just backing each other up, not standing next to each other. And for Topper to be so calm and cool about it when they seem very content and laid back and just not necessarily lazy, but they seem like they know what their mindset is. They're going to be in the playoffs anyway, so I feel like that's the way they're playing. If I'm Topper or somebody like Harper or somebody, I would just go crazy in the locker room and like set a standard, like, hey, we're better than this, and we got to start playing like it, not just coast until the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I don't know. Do you think they're coasting? Because I don't think they're coasting.
I don't think. I think they're comfortable where they are, man. I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. This is the psyche, I think, of baseball players. I just find, you know, I find it fascinating that people say, hey, they need to go in the locker room and throw a fit. If that's not the way your locker room is designed, what is that going to accomplish? If everybody's just going to look at you like you're crazy. You have to have those guys in the locker room with that type of mentality. And it's obvious from the manager on down to the players that that's not how they're built. It's just not.
So then would you bring up a young guy like somebody with a chip on their shoulder,
Otto
like
Kemp.
A Justin Crawford? Or,
you mean like an Otto Kemp? Otto Kemp was that spark. To me, Otto Kemp was that spark that they had.
Thanks, Andrew.
When they brought somebody up, and he played with that want to. That's why he's still here.
But that kind of thing only, I feel like, gives you a spark for like a brief period of time.
It's we're talking about culture. We're talking about culture now. We're talking about dog mentality. I think that's what we're talking about, because it's a lot of times we as fans for the last couple of weeks we say, well, Topper needs to throw his cap and he needs to go slap the umpire and stuff like that. That's not who they are. That is not who they are. You know, and there's been how many times that we sat here, and I mean, to a certain extent, it's true. They say, hey, we got a lot of baseball. We're in a good spot. They're not lying, but there's no sense of urgency.
It's not who they are, but is that not what you feel like they might be lacking?
That sense of urgency?
Well, like the fire, the spirit,
suburban,
like the sense of urgency.
Energy.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and this is the
that's
thing,
what
too.
It is.
One thing we were
keep talking about the suburbs, man.
Batting around
saying,
a little
it's
bit.
Nice in the suburbs, though.
Batting around a little bit before the show is Bryce and his energy or kind of lack thereof. Because when Bryce struggles, it feels like something is not there with him. And he's 0-for-4 last night, worked a walk in the game, but struggled a little bit. And he has obviously not had the kind of year we're accustomed to him having, has not looked himself since coming off the IL. And yesterday we talked a lot about the trade deadline. Do you guys, to fully commit to this team, do you need to see Bryce kind of pick it up a little bit? I don't. I look at it and I say, regardless, I'm going to take my chances on Bryce getting back to being himself. I'm going all in anyway. I'm not going to kind of let this year kind of pass me by because of Bryce not looking himself. Where do you fall?
I'm with you on that. I think Bryce, for Bryce, is time. He just needs time, man. I think that his biggest thing right now is to adjust to the way his body's feeling. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time. He's been working some at-bats, no question about that. It's going to take him time, in my opinion, to get comfortable where his body is right now.
Yeah, because he just hasn't looked right. And I'll ask you, Kyle, I mean, when you talk about the deadline and you look at the Bryce situation, do you need to see him look more like himself before you're ready to fully commit to this team?
Yeah, so not like entirely himself, because I don't think we're ever going to get that, at least not this season. I don't think we're going to see that version again. But I just look at, again, how well the pitching staff has been playing this season and just how well they're pitching right now. Like, I think the month of June, they're like the top three ERA guys. Or since June, they're the top three ERA guys in all of baseball.
Yeah.
It's something where I feel like you can't waste that, or you can't, like, punt when you have that. So while they might not get a guy who's – they're definitely not going to get a guy who's as impactful as getting, like, the full 100% Bryce Harper back would be, they can still get a guy that adds a little bit more juice and can get you a hit in a big moment, or even, you know, maybe a guy that gives you a little bit of power. Like, I still think they can bolster this lineup enough to the point where it tips the scale in a way that the pitching can get you by in the postseason.
Yeah,
so,
and the more I watch them, the more I just feel like they need so much that I don't know if they can accomplish the things they need. Because one day, you think it's the bats. And Monday night, obviously, that game, they don't score any runs. And it's like, oh, well, they really need a bat. That goes to the top of the priority list. Then last night happens. And it's like, okay, well, they really need a bullpen piece. And the answer in the end is you need both. Like, you need a big-time bullpen arm. You need a big-time bat in your lineup. And that means you're going to have to give up a hell of a lot at the deadline.
Yeah, but in reality, you're not going to be able to get big-time both. You know, and I think that's where we are, especially when you talk about the standings and where everybody, most teams are at this point. You're going to get fleeced, and how comfortable you are. And not only that, TK, your biggest piece, I would think, is Andrew Painter.
Yeah.
And you have a situation where you're going to need pitching in a couple years. No matter how you slice that piece of pie, you're going to need pitching. Somebody's going to ask for your pitcher. That if you want to make that kind of move, somebody's going to ask for him. And I don't think you're really in a position that you want to give that up yet.
Yeah, and we'll get to the Painter thing coming up, because he had another outing last night in AAA. Kind of mixed results, and what the Phillies should do with him in the immediate future. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes as well. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Sean in Newark. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, guys? I got an update on the game.
No updates.
We're not doing that, dog.
Right,
we can't talk about that.
The score.
It's a big reveal.
I don't know how you're going to keep it a secret.
Okay,
we have been so far.
I won't ruin it, but I can talk about one thing that I know is going to be the big story tomorrow. Not Joe or Jack. It's going to be the cameraman that O.G. Wade hired to film the game. It's hysterical. O.G. Wade was getting nothing.
What do you got on the Phil, Sean?
What's that?
What do you got on the Phils?
Well, we can't talk about this. Like, it's the only thing you guys have been talking about.
Sean, does O.G. Wade work for the station? Man, read the room that we're trying to O.G. Wade don't work for us. Read the room, dog. Be quiet.
Read, Sean. I was talking about what your big W.I.S.
Okay. And like I just told you, O.G. Wade don't work for us, man. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. Sean, come
It's like this is – listen. Listen, Sean, since you're not on air anymore, this is what I was trying to tell you in the nicest way possible. We know he's there recording. He don't work for us. So why the hell are we going to promote somebody that don't work for us?
I love
it's
Sean.
It's that simple.
Sean made my open for the show. We tried to.
I mean,
tried
damn,
to tell you the nice way, Sean.
Oh, that's your but Sean. So
that's good, my guy.
I mean, but damn. Like,
Sean's still my guy.
We were trying in the nicest grown-up way to tell you that what we were trying to tell you, but your dumb ass didn't pick it up. You didn't pick it up, dog. We know. It's our job to know. Goodness. We know that. And when you came on the station and we kept trying to steer you in another direction, you kept talking. Read the damn room. Read the room, dog. It ain't that hard. Hell.
There
Back
you
to
go.
You, TK.
Well said. Let's go to Chris Back in Nazareth. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
All right. Hey, about the Phillies last night, my question is, or should I say, Rob Thompson knew going into the game he wasn't going to have Kirkery, okay? He needed to do a better job of managing his pitching and his bullpen. Maybe let Walker go an extra inning, okay? But they have not had Romano go two innings all year. So a lot of this I blame on him. Marsh should not have been in center
field. Well, Chris, I'll ask you this. What would you have rather him do in that ninth inning? Would you have rather Romano come back out, Seth Johnson, or Joe Ross? Like, what's the winning choice?
Seth Johnson.
Seth Johnson, who has not pitched. I don't know if he's pitched a meaningful inning in the major leagues to this point.
What's that?
I don't know if he's pitched a meaningful inning in the major leagues at this point. The guy's only been a blowout.
No, not meaningful.
I was at the game last week against San Diego. He looked good.
Yeah, I mean, he's pitching in garbage time. They're getting blown out in that game.
But the bottom line is this. He knew he had no Kirkering going into the game. So let Walker go an extra inning.
No, I don't think that was the case. I think they thought they had Kirkering. And then something happened during the court.
He had to have known. They had to have known. Before the game.
Wait a minute, Chris. I think it was a fluid situation, to be fair to Topper. And he said he thought he was going to have – did TK, wasn't a report that said he thought he was going to have him available for this game tonight?
And in the middle of the game, he found out he wasn't.
But
something like that.
But even if they did know, you can't really stretch Taiwan. Chris, Taiwan hasn't started a game in like 6 weeks. He threw 63 pitches. That's probably the most he's thrown in 2 months.
Here's the other thing, guy. Our defense, we haven't been scoring runs. It's a 3-1 game. You got to keep your best center fielder out there in center field because it certainly is not Marsh. Okay, he should have never been out there.
But we're always screaming about him pinch hitting, Chris. We're always screaming about how can you let Rojas hit these at bats. I mean, you got to trust your center fielders go out and make a play.
That's part of being the manager. That's part of being a manager. It's a close game. You're not scoring a lot of runs. You got to have defense, and your center fielder is your most important outfielder. Okay, that means, all right, I'm going to leave Rojas in, and he's going to be my center fielder.
But Chris, how about the fact that Marsh also got a critical hit and scored one of the runs to put you ahead? Do you think Rojas gets that hit?
Well, maybe. He didn't get a chance.
What do you think the chances are?
Well, let me ask you this. Who's the better center fielder?
The better center fielder is probably Rojas, but Marsh is by far the better hitter right now.
So
you
got to
get it. This is where, Chris, I think people just want to blame Rob Thompson, regardless of the situation.
That's basically what it is.
That's what it is.
Look, he has not had the roster that he needed to compete, but he hasn't managed what he does have very well.
I hear you, Chris, and I appreciate the call. I don't understand how
like you say he doesn't have the roster he needs to compete, but he's competing.
Right.
And what are they, 13 games over 500 or something like that?
Yeah, and like you're in a situation where we always complain about not pinch hitting. He pinch hits Marsh. Marsh gets a hit, is on base for when Schwarber hits the homer. I mean, that's how you got the lead in large part. And, you know, I just don't know what you want Rob Thompson to do. And sure, after the fact, it's easy to say Seth Johnson. But I would bet that if Rob Thompson goes to Seth Johnson and Seth Johnson blows it, Chris is ripping Rob Thompson for putting
him in. Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like. It's the players have to be held accountable for the actions, man. And Romano in that situation should have – it wasn't like a situation that Topper felt it was not manageable. He just didn't get the job done.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, midday show. We are live from McGurk's Bar and Grill in Fort Washington. Fritz the camera going on currently at Plymouth White Marsh High School. A lot of stuff to get to throughout the rest of the show. We will get at some point to a development in the Sixers offseason dealing with Quentin Grimes. That's coming up as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the midday show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. McGurk's in Fort Washington. What's up, Hugh?
This is so loud, man.
I didn't think that
it's
was
not that
loud.
Dude, hold on. Is it?
It's just Hugh's headphones.
Yeah.
It just sounds loud.
I can turn your headset down. Like the return.
It just sounds like Fred just trying to blow us out. Though.
I don't know. I'm not hearing the same thing. It might be your headset.
It might be my headset. Yeah.
I just ruined your hearing for the rest of your life, though.
Oh well, hell, it ain't like let y'all tell it. I ain't got that much time left anyway. I was about to say you almost had to dump that, but him and Joe. They like to talk about I'm in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. Bumping up against a two-minute warning.
I would say.
I think it's funny. They say the game almost over.
If I had a handicap, I'd say there's 5 minutes left in the third. 5 minutes left in the third for you, Hugh. So you still got a little bit more
time. Listen. I don't let those guys bother me, man.
Yeah.
I don't let them bother me.
I think I'm at halftime right now. Yeah. Kyle's still in the first half. second.
You think so?
Nah. Yeah, I think late second quarter.
I feel like I'm in the first half. I could be 2 minute warning of the second quarter.
Yeah. Where's Fran at?
Fran feels like he's still in the first quarter.
Yeah. No, he's not in the first quarter.
Fran 30. Fran 30. Fran need to go ahead and settle down. So
you play your cards right. That's first quarter.
I don't know what you guys are referring to. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Don't worry about it, young fella.
What quarter are you in of your life? Are you listening to the show, Fran?
Yeah. No. I don't know what you mean by this first quarter halftime stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
Turn off Wimbledon and listen to the show.
Yeah, he's watching too much Wimbledon in that studio.
No, you're not.
I'm multitasking.
This is what I always deal with Fran. I'll go to him on the air for something. What were you talking about?
That never happens. Never happened in my life.
Come on, Fran. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, talking a lot about the Phillies. Phillies lose last night 3-1. Jordan Romano, who has been nothing short
Romano
of a disaster this year.
Romano?
Should we start calling him Romano? Is that what we need to do? He's
Ray Romano until further notice.
He's lost the proper pronunciation.
I butcher names as it is.
Yeah.
So it's Romano.
You don't do well. Oh, I don't. we're talking Romano.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's supposed to be Romano. He's Romano right
Romano.
Now.
He is quickly climbing the ranks of my most hated Philly list of all time.
So
I cannot stand him. I can't stand him. He's awful. Wow.
You know, so I don't know if I can go hate just because he doesn't say anything that annoys me. Usually, like, when I jump from, like, I'm just tired of this dude, get him off my team, to, like, I hate that guy, he needs to say something that pisses me off. Yeah.
But
who was that
so
last
bad.
Year that irritated you so bad when he was talking?
We could go down the list.
Didn't Kepler irritate you a little bit?
Oh, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, who did? I don't know who he didn't irritate. Maybe you, because you always try to see the good
Listen, if you're talking the talk, and you got to walk the walk, man. And he wasn't doing that.
This is the thing. If he was just a bad pitcher, that's one thing. But I'm telling you, all this fidgetiness on the mound.
That's what bothers you.
Is
the fidgetiness.
Brutal.
And not like coming through in the clutch.
Yeah. Just sit still during the game. Go out. Stop messing around with your hair on the mound, whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
Just throw strikes.
Just stop talking to yourself.
Oh, my God.
Maybe tone down the talking to yourself a
little bit. He would have fit in perfectly with that 2020 COVID bullpen.
Oh.
That had Brandon Workman.
He might have been the ace of that, bullpen.
He'd have been the best guy in that bullpen. That's how bad they were. 215-592-9494.
That actually was the single worst bullpen I've ever seen.
That was, thank God that season was only 60 games, because that was the worst Phillies team to watch I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
They were brutal.
Yep. That was Alec Boehm's best season, too.
Yeah. There you go. No fans in the crowd. Maybe that had something to do with it.
He likes the
privacy. 215-592-9494. In a few minutes, we'll get to the Sixers and another update with them this offseason. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Ron in Montco. Hey, Ron.
Oh,
turn that radio.
Hey, guys.
Turn that radio off there, buddy.
Turn the radio. What is with my radio and you?
Ron is kind of loud.
The problem is it's on.
That's what it is.
I was trying.
He's an idiot. Yeah.
My radio ain't on. It's my phone.
Okay, oh, we got the feedback.
Anyway, it's
my fault. You're right.
You.
Yes.
You're getting. Yes, you got to be getting double combat pay today.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Ron?
Well, you got the TK and you got the screener on. You got both of them.
I'm on Hugh's side today.
It's not a bad – today's pretty good. It's a pretty good day, to be honest. It's a pretty good day.
Most of the time I'm on his side, too. I mean, even when he's wrong, he's silly. You know, what can you do?
When I'm wrong, I'm silly.
So very often.
I mean, even when he's wrong, you got to laugh. You know what I mean?
I'm never wrong. Ron, what are you talking about?
No,
I'm never wrong.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I'm opinionated. I'm opinionated.
Yeah, well, so am I. So am I. But anyway, listen, here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say, guys, okay? The Harper thing is a very bad thing, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you from experience, okay, the most painful thing for him at the plate is when he fouls one off or when he whiffs. It's not when he hits it on the screws, okay? I was a three-hitter my whole life, okay? And I was on a championship team 1 year, and I tore the back of my, you know, the back of your hand, the runs between your fingers, the back of the hand, and I went down all the way, plummeted to the nine-hole header. And this is a serious problem. Now, the question is, are they telling you everything? Is he bone on bone? Is he out of cartilage in that wrist? Because as a left-handed hitter, okay, his right hand is his dominant hand. That's his power hand, okay? And that's where the torque is coming. The other hand steers the bat. So we may be looking at the end of him. We hope we don't. But guys, Thompson, I could take him or leave him. He's a guy to me. He's just another schmo. The guy who baked the cake, okay, is a guy, Dombrowski, and the owner. They baked the cake. Don't you hear us arguing about center field? How long have we been arguing about center field? Oh, this one should have been there. This one should have been here. Blah, blah, blah. Listen, I will wash all three of your cars next spring, starting spring, every Sunday. I will wash each of your cars every Sunday if they make it to the World Series. How's that?
Well, all right, I'll take you up on that, Ron. I live in Monco, too, so maybe you can, I'll bring my car over.
Well, I left because you do live in Monco. I'm out of Monco.
All right.
As soon as I found out, I split. I'm gone.
That's a good call, Ron. Well, I'll find you, and you can wash our cars wherever it is. Thanks for the call, Ron. But he's not wrong. I mean, the pieces that this team have been put together with were just dramatically flawed. And, I mean, I just don't know how you fix all of it over the course of the next few weeks.
I mean, this is still a good baseball team. Let's not lose light of that. Now, do they need some pieces? Yes. But I feel like they feel that they're not major moves. You know, as fans, we want the major moves because it gets us excited about the team and it gets us juice and everything. That's not going to be the case, I don't believe. I don't believe because when you talk about – when I look at the standings, TK, a lot of teams tightly grouped together, man, and that's going to make it hard for you to make the type of moves – that we're talking about. Who was the player that we were talking about from the Angels yesterday that we could get?
Taylor Ward.
Yes. It might be. I'm not saying it's him. But what I'm saying is it's probably going to be a move, something like that, when you know, the trade deadline comes around.
Well, then the season's over. If they do something minor like that, the season's over. They need a real pitcher, and they need a real hitter. And they probably need more than one real pitcher.
Okay. Answer me this. Riddle me this. At this point of the season and with everybody tightly grouped together, what is the easier fix, TK? It feels to me like it's a pitcher more so than a bat.
I agree with you. I think the bullpen is probably – it's easier to find bullpen pieces at the deadline, I think, than it is to find –
because nobody wants to get – like we were talking about Austin Riley yesterday. You know, as bad as the Braves are – that probably is going to be a hefty price tag.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
So I would think that we have to kind of hope for the best. I know nobody wants to hear that. But
well, here we go.
No, listen.
Always try to look for the best.
Listen to what I'm saying.
This is just.
No, listen. To what,
I'm disappointed in you this
no,
week.
No, listen to what I'm
a
saying.
A lot of positivity.
No, that's my fault. He was trying to be serious.
But listen to what I'm saying. Last night, early in that game, when I was talking about the Rojas at-bat and when he got on base and they were trying to move runners, to me that's an indication of them trying to change their play style. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know if they're trying to change their play style.
Well, they're trying to manufacture runs. Well, that's a better decision.
By necessity.
Yeah, right. I don't think they have a choice.
Yes,
right,
that's what I'm saying, because they're trying to change the way that they play.
Which is better than nothing.
Yes. And so that's kind of how I look at it. So if we can get some relief pitching, I think we will be fine. Mm-hmm. Now, the in the park home run, that was a tough one. But I see that. And when I said, and I know fans in the car, like, you're just an idiot. I hate when you talk baseball. But it's the truth. It's the truth.
The number one, like, they can really round out the, I guess not round out because it's not a very good, particularly, like, great offense right now. But They do the small ball stuff, and they're doing it, I think, better than they have in years past. That's good. That's a positive. If they add another piece that can give you a little pop, you get that extra element of power. Maybe you get a little bit more power back from Bryce, and Castellanos finds his power. You know, like that. And then they still do the small ball stuff. That, I think, is a recipe for success in October, especially with the way the starting pitching is.
I just think we're really running out of time in terms of guys finding it. I mean, it's the middle of July.
Well, yeah, Trey said it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, I'm trying to ease off him. Trey's had a good season. I know I haven't been the biggest Trey guy.
Not even an all-star.
That comment was a disgrace. I mean, it's a good thing we haven't played our best yet. So we can play well later.
It does remind me a lot of the stuff that you heard from guys last year, like JT and even Schwarber to an extent, about like, yeah, you know, just gotta hope that like we flip the switch.
Yeah,
in October, it's like no, like
not the way it works, guys.
You can control that.
Yeah,
you gotta flip that switch.
Yeah, you gotta play better. Bottom line,
it's one of those things where, like, we are so sensitive to some of the things that you say. And when you say things like that, that's not what this fan base wants to do.
Yeah, no.
Flipping the switch and we got time and things of that nature. The time is now.
Yeah, you gotta get to it now so you establish those habits for the postseason. Let's go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet.
Hey. I agree with you, definitely. I think it would be easier to go ahead and get some help for the bullpen. I think that is – I'm not really concerned about our bats. I mean, I know that we get streaky, we're hot and cold, but I think we'll be okay with that. But, oh, my gosh, that bullpen, I mean, that's been our issue from the beginning. And, honestly, I'm really, really upset with Alvarado because we really freaking needed him.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Violet. And, honestly – We probably don't bring that up enough, but Alvarado put this team in a terrible position. I mean, that suspension cost them so much. And, yeah, I mean, that created a whole other need for them that you'd think if you have Alvarado, a game like last night is probably not a problem and it's probably a game you win.
No, it would have been in the bag, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
Alvarado,
a great point.
Alvarado screwed.
Yeah, that was huge. Absolutely.
So that's all I have to say.
Right.
We'll be okay.
Thanks.
We're gonna make it.
Well, thanks, Violet. Appreciate the call. I don't know. No, but she makes a great point. And like the Alvarado thing, guys, the Alvarado thing was massive. I mean, it killed this team in terms of you thought even if Romano was a bust, you thought you could count on Kirkering and Strom and Alvarado, and at least you have three guys that you can fall back on. You take Alvarado out of the equation, and even though like a guy like Banks has been good, it just really has put you in a tough spot.
Yeah, he didn't time that cycle up right, man. That's kind of messed up that he did that.
You think if he timed it up a little better, he wouldn't have gotten popped?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not. This is not me condoning it, but it's obvious that you know this has been. You know what I mean? This has been. I mean, he's been. You know, he's been messing around for a while, so he messed up the timing.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, Alvarado was bad last year, so it might have been something that he felt like he needed to do. 215-592-9494.
That sounds so bad. Kids, don't condone. We don't condone that on this.
No, we don't condone the use of PEDs.
We don't condone.
Thank you for clarifying that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Did want to give you a quick Sixers update. As the saga with Quentin Grimes continues, Sixers fairly certain, I guess, pretty much, what was the terminology you used, Kyle? They are extremely confident that they will keep Quentin Grimes, right?
Yeah, so let me find the report again. Hold on a second. What, dude?
I laid a grenade, Kyle, clap right there.
That's the way.
I forgot exactly how it was framed. It's like, yeah, I forget exactly
okay,
what it was.
No,
so
no,
I'll
okay.
just dish it off to so, Kyle. I'm just being the point guard there.
So this is from an NBA reporter. His name's Tony Jones. He covers the Jazz and the Nuggets. But have been a little bit of rumors about potential signing trades with Quentin Grimes. And it feels like the Sixers are not really entertaining that. And they are, quote, unquote, almost certain. Good job. Nailed it. That they will retain the 25-year-old guard.
And I want to keep Quentin Grimes. Obviously, you don't want to let a talented player like that walk out the door. But here's my question with this team. How many guards do they plan on having?
A lot.
You have Maxey. You have McCain. You have Edgecombe. You had. How could you possibly not bring back the two elder
statesmen, Lowry,
Eric Gordon, and Kyle Lowry?
Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry.
Bad Boys.
Yeah, I know. Bad I know. Boy. I know the reference. Yeah. He was Will Smith, right?
Yeah.
Will Smith was him.
Mike Lowry.
Yeah. The combined age of like 80 years old. I don't really understand this roster. Like, don't you need front court guys? Like, again, the Gordon and Lowry part of this didn't make a lot of sense to me. When you have six guards, that seems like overkill. I don't know.
I feel like veteran leadership is what they're trying to do. And they're just that's the biggest thing. Because when you talk about the other guys that you would think would be the veteran leaders, I don't think that's the case. So they wanted as many vets in that locker room to try to change the culture as possible. You know, and that's what I think it is, because at some point, you know, we're gonna work this whole Joel Embiid thing as long as we possibly can. We're gonna be as optimistic as we can. But it doesn't look good. Let's be realistic, TK.
You got to tip the weenie scale. Well, and I think that's going to come from guys that can actually play.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, veteran mentorship by guys like Kyle Lowry is what's really going to tip that. I think it's a Quentin Grimes thing. Kyle Lowry ends up being a guy that can come off the bench. I think that's, like, best-case scenario for the guard situation.
And I don't think that's going to be the case. Like, I don't think Kyle Lowry, honestly, we watched him play last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he can really play anymore.
No, he's cooked.
I just think, like, what's weird about this offseason with the Sixers for me is I want to pick a direction. Like, are you building for the next, you know, 2, 3, 5 years? Or are you trying to go for this in a wide-open Eastern Conference next year? And it feels like they're trying to do both. And I think whenever you try to do both, you really don't do either thing effectively. So that's the thing I don't get. It's like, yeah, if you're building for the future, fine. Don't bring back the old guys. Bring in guys with some upside.
Well, you're at an impasse, because I feel like, and this is just my perspective on this, Tyrese Maxey tried to take over last year. When he had the team meeting and, you know, he talked to the big fella and he tried to talk to him about his work ethic. That was not received well.
Well, you encouraged Embiid to go search and hunt down the snitch.
What I did. Well, I said, well, listen.
That was so lame on Embiid's part, too.
First and foremost, I said if they would have hired me. If they would have hired me, it would have never gotten to that.
You would have encouraged them.
I would have not have encouraged. I will. That's the time where every now and then, like it's like what they call it, code switching. The kids call it code switching now. I would code switch to a grown up in that situation, and I would have handled it like most grown ups handle. I'd be like, "Hey, Joel, it's probably not a good look, dog. You know, he's trying to point you in the right direction. Let's just listen to what he has to say." And let's just keep this under wraps. I would like while you're playing, I'm still available for the Sixers.
Oh, no.
If they want me to take that PR
you
job.
You fought your teammate in the locker room.
Yeah, that was in my younger days.
That was when you were supposed to be the badass.
But that was in my younger days. That was in my 30s.
That was your first go around.
It's like, what's your – okay. Let's do a mock interview.
That was in my 30s.
A mock interview.
I'm in my 50s now.
A mock interview, Hugh with Daryl Morey and Josh Harris. Okay, what's your previous experience in this field? Well, I got in a fight with one of the guys on the team.
Well, I got in a fight with it too. But listen, Daryl, I would tell Daryl, first of all, Daryl, you need to cut that terrible ass beard off, dog. Because I don't know what your beard is doing, but it really,
yeah, they're gonna love
it. It's
that.
Confusing. It confuses a lot of people, and it comes off as disingenuous. So cut that off.
His beard confuses.
And try to say as least as possible about this upcoming season, because you're confusing. Because last year, you told the fans to squint their eyes really, really hard, and that you got a chance to make it to the playoffs. That didn't happen.
Yeah, and
I would tell them that. So that I would start off that way. Like sometimes, man, tough love is the best way to deal with folks. You know, you just got to. Sometimes you just got to, you know, be honest with people. Cut that terrible ass beard. We don't know what it's doing. It's not really connecting all over the place. And let's. Just take a break from, like, talking about the team.
And, hey, I'm actually, like, more optimistic about the Sixers than I was prior to this offseason. I just don't totally get the direction of this offseason. A lot of conflicting moves one way or the other. Let's go to Nick in Philly. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm a longtime Phillies fan. certainly disappointed about the game last night. I think it was one of the worst managed games by Rob Thompson all season. I think he took Taiwan Walker out of the game too early, and he put Jordan Romano in the ninth inning. He should have put Orion Kerkering.
Well, Orion Kerkering wasn't available last night, Nick. He pitched a couple days before.
Yeah, but hold on. No, why wasn't he available? Because Topper said he'd limited him so that he would be available, and then all of a sudden he wasn't.
Well, I don't think they always totally know. I mean, if you're on the day of the game and Kerkering says he's not feeling good enough to go, yeah. I don't think that's a Topper.
But I guess my question is,
you're saying Orion Kerkering physically told Rob Thompson, I can't pitch today?
Yes. Yes, I think something happened, and he said yes, because he was dependent on him. Yes, I think that's what happened.
And we don't know exactly what happened, but, if he was available, I don't think Rob Thompson's, holding him back.
Or also, was he wishy-washy about it, and then Topper decided to make the as our own ways and chats
I'm
with
telling you, I got to speak, man, because when people speak, they aggressively speak.
Just
I got to say hi.
Just a wave is okay. But we've seen Topper do this thing where he plays the long game before, and he doesn't want to burn out a guy, this early in the season when you have September and you have October to have to go through with these guys. When they're down a few arms in the bullpen, I don't know. I do wonder what the strategy was with that.
I think he's kind of overly paranoid with that. I think for this team to win, I think the starters they are too obsessing over pitches, how many pitches they have in a game. Like, they'll pull them at 100 pitches, as opposed to just kind of letting the game happen and just, if they're really good, if someone's really dealing at 100 pitches and they've given up one run, send them out for one more and see if they can do it.
Yeah, Nick, I hear you, and I appreciate the call. I think that's easy to say, but...
Yeah, because you're not in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, you got to protect the health of these guys. And the bottom line is Kerkering, he's a young player. He has not been relied on this frequently yet in his career. I mean, let's remember, he just came up at the very end of 2023. I understand wanting to try to limit him to keep him healthy for the rest of the year. You got to do that.
And not only that, it feels like for Topper, he goes on the feel of his pitchers. Just like the other night when he asked Wheels, hey, man, how you feeling? Because you have to know, man, these guys are – they pitch a lot of energy and they're throwing that gas. You got to make sure that they're in tune and they're right.
Yeah, but don't you also just trust Wheeler a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. That I was just using him as an example. I was just using him as an example of him asking a question and him getting a feel for his guy. That's all.
Okay.
Right. But with a guy like
Kerkering. Not comparing. Right.
Well, no, I'm not. No, yeah. I'm saying I feel like Wheeler might know a little bit better if he still has his best stuff.
Yeah.
Than a more inexperienced guy like Kerkering.
And this might come down to where the Phillies do need to protect a young pitcher from himself a little bit, and I'm okay with them doing that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Obviously talking a lot about the Phillies today. They lose the first two games of the series, the Giants. Lose on a walk-off inside the park home run last night. To lose 4-3.
Man, this thing got packed quick.
Game 3 of the series. Yeah, a lot of people coming over for the baseball event. They'll reveal the results of that at 2 o'clock today. But a lot of time to get in on the Phillies. Obviously talking a lot about that. When we get back, talk about a hypothetical trade idea that we mentioned briefly yesterday on the show. And we'll give you the latest on Andrew Painter. He had another outing in AAA last night. So we'll let you know how that went and what the future could look like for Painter moving forward. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. We're live from McGurk's in Fort Washington, Sports Radio 94 WIP.